you know, a lot has changed over the last 4 to 5 years. And, you know, marketing channels are becoming more expensive. It's not, you know, getting to that return on investment is a little bit more challenging. So if you're running the same playbook as everyone else, then your customer acquisition costs are going to be unacceptably high. Even especially in this time of the pandemic, I would say increasingly less patience among people with capital to lose money, as many disruptor brands historically have. I think more of a focus on growing in a smart, profitable way. So as a result, intelligent data-driven marketing has never been more important. And I think there's a need to look for opportunities to invest in areas that other brands aren't thinking about. And again, not just thinking about acquisition, but getting those high value customers.
Welcome to season 3 of E-commerce Fastlane, the great one, 99.
Welcome to E-commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by ShipBob, the best-in-class order fulfillment company for small to mid-size Shopify brands. ShipBob powers two-day and three-day shipping and fulfillment for thousands of direct-to-consumer brands. They've also been fully operational during the coronavirus across their 9 fulfillment centers in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. ShipBob is also a tech-enabled 3PL that fulfills e-commerce orders for direct-to-consumer retailers. Their mission is clear: to make your Shopify brand successful by providing best-in-class logistics so your customers don't go elsewhere. With reliable fulfillment services, warehouses near your customers, and connected technology that powers the fulfillment network, they will help improve transit times, shipping costs, and the delivery experience for your customers. So check them out today at shipbob.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. Now, my guest in today's episode is Carrie Lawrence, who's the general manager and co-founder at Social Code. They're a full-service marketing partner that combines media, data management, creative, and marketplace strategies really to help brands grow revenue and to become more profitable. Now, Carrie spearheads the Social Code's audience intelligence platform. It's referred to AIP on this show. Industry-leading technology that enables disruptors to prospect and acquire their highest value customers and really maximize lifetime value. Today is a great opportunity to get into the mind of a founder. So hi, Carrie. Welcome to E-commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat.
I shared a little bit at the top of the show about what you do, but I'd love to hear it in your own words, more on a high level first. Like, what does Social Codes, this audience intelligent platform, what does it do and what sort of problem does it aim to solve for Shopify brands?
Sure. So Social Codes audience intelligence platform, or AIP, as you might hear me refer to it, that's kind of the nickname for it later. What it does is it allows companies to improve their business outcomes by maximizing the value of their customer data. We see that as their most valuable marketing asset. So our software-led solution has a direct Shopify integration that offers marketers a one-click integration with their Shopify stores, which allows data to be integrated into AIP much faster. So once we've established that pipeline, the online transactions are fed directly into Social Code's customer analytics engine. So it gives marketers the ability to gain immediate insights, you know, at the quick click of a button into their customer base and to really activate quickly on those key audience segments. So specifically thinking about the benefits of the Shopify integration, really a comprehensive view into all their historical data, generating automatic analytics and insights, and weekly audience refreshes. So what we're trying to do is really just bridge that gap between financial and marketing analytics and then activate the best audiences quickly.
So tell me a little bit about your journey leading to the launch of Social Codes, this AIP. What would you believe uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, number one, to have the desire, and number two, to have the expertise to create this platform?
Yeah, no, great question. And with Social Code, our roots were really on sort of the media activation and analytics side for social platforms. So we've since kind of expanded that into many different areas. And, you know, as I said, our belief is really that that customer data is that most valuable asset. So one of the things that we started to notice early on with those media activations was that when we looked at different variables like audience or creative or bidding tactic, audience really had the largest impact on marketing performance. So the theory and why we decided to build audience intelligence platform was that if we can optimize audiences more effectively across all these various channels, specifically looking at digital, you know, all the social, Google, Amazon, et cetera, then marketing performance will in turn also be more effective. So we first built AIP back in, it was late, I believe Q4 of 2017. And it allows us to be very specific in those audiences that we use for marketing. So the idea is create those best seeds so that we're helping marketers, but not just find more customers, but high value customers. So our team realized that there was a lot of value that was being left on the table when it came to making those critical business decisions and questions, answering those questions that marketers had. So basically, brands didn't necessarily know all the basics about their customers, and they weren't able to blend financial and marketing analytics. So we found that answering these questions can completely reshape how a brand thinks about their marketing efforts beyond just tactical advertising performance improvements.
So let's dig a little bit into the platform and specifically the Shopify integration. Are you able to share maybe a few use cases on how you can use data and your platform together to, I guess, help marketers affect their marketing decisions?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of examples that I think are really interesting ones. First one I'll talk about is this is for a D2C skincare provider and a Shopify Plus merchant. And they actually came to us with very specific customer analytics questions that they needed to answer to both understand the major drivers of their customer lifetime value and retention over time. We were super excited about this because it wasn't just that they wanted to know how can I improve my cost per acquisition in media, but really like how can I answer these critical business questions? So the types of questions that they were asking us that, you know, are now discoverable directly within our platform include things like, can we see cohort level LTV over the last 7 years? So not just all the customers, but when we talk about cohorts, it's maybe it's a certain product category purchaser or a certain month of time cohort. So lots of different ways to kind of cut that data. Other questions were, you know, what is the average lifetime value over time and by referral channel? So where are they getting those highest quality customers from? And then their specific question that was most interesting once we kind of revealed some of these insights was what was really driving the change in their lifetime value? So was it the units per transaction, the average order value? So there were some really interesting trends that started to surface when we started to dig into that data and reveal that within the UI. So the other great thing about AIP is it blends some of that transactional data with more demographic, psychographic, and behavioral data that we're able to get by basically enriching their customers and adding additional insights that we pull in from third-party partners. We can help them understand what are the demographic and psychographic and behavioral compositions of their, let's say, their highest top 10% customers versus their lowest value customers. So being able to have those answers easily accessible to stakeholders across the company. So in this case, we weren't just talking to the marketing lead or the e-com lead, but also starting to get those conversations with the founders or people on the business insight side of the house. But it really allowed them to make some of those critical decisions to drive the best outcomes.
The whole skincare market, the CPG market, I know it's a really interesting and exciting market. I have quite a few brands that I manage in that exact same space, and they have these identical challenges where they're trying to figure out lifetime value. They're trying to figure out what cohorts of what customers, and can we find others like them? It's a really interesting challenge. I'd almost refer to it as life cycle marketing, where we have current active, we have at risk, and we have churned customers. And then we have the frequency of purchasing of 1, 2, 3 loyals. And it's so interesting to be able to put them into, I want to say buckets, but kind of like buckets, and saying, well, how are we directly marketing to those particular people so that they don't become at risk? Or how do we get them to a second sale? And then what about one that have churned already? They've made one, have never repurchased, or two have never repurchased. It's so interesting that that sort of knowledge is desperately needed by so many brands, especially in the skincare, beauty, CPG kind of market from what I see.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said, Steve, is really, really smart, which made me think, like, what you were, as you were saying, like, these beauty brands, it's not just, or, you know, this would work, apply for fashion as well. It's not just about getting that single purchaser, but you want to, even if you don't have a subscription offering, you want those customers to be acting like subscribers, right? So they're going to continue to buy more and more things. So I think that's super smart. But so thinking about, as you said, like fashion retailers, we worked with one brand that was already pretty scaled. They had tens of millions of customer records. And our team, they had always kind of struggled. They almost had like this, it was like the curse of too much data, which is never a curse. That's always a good thing. But they had difficulty really getting that data in an accessible place to kind of move it into marketing very quickly. So by integrating that Shopify one click, we were able to allow them to do very quick segmentations, insights, and activation directly from within AIP, within that platform. And what was great to see was it's not just, okay, well, here's what the, you know, the women's line of business lead thinks or needs. And this is what the men's line, and maybe they're launching a new product category. So I think the key takeaway there is that the combination of AIP and Shopify Plus can work even for scaled e-commerce companies. It doesn't just have to be early stage or mid-market, but really, you know, it works for the larger brands as well.
One thing I notice inside Shopify's admin, we definitely have access to data, first party data that's, you know, your customer records, your order history, all the details are there and tons of reporting. I think there's even some third party tools that are available that have access to Shopify's API that could actually help generate some custom tools and reporting things that maybe are different business cases that are not maybe the mainstream, so to speak. So there is some things that are built into it. So let's talk about how the audience intelligence platform, how do you believe it actually complements Shopify brands as it relates to the data that's already available in Shopify and the reporting that's already available in Shopify?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Shopify has amazing data on what customers are purchasing and how much they're purchasing. And to be honest, one of the reasons why we're so excited to do the integration directly with Shopify was because we saw that so many of our existing clients or our target prospects, they already had that integration. So it made a ton of sense. And we knew that there was already a ton of great data. But what AIP does to help complete that picture is pull in those behavioral, demographic, and psychographic information about those customers, and then make it really easy to act on those insights in marketing. So again, it's surfacing the bridge between financial and marketing analytics, but then being able to augment that view of that customer and then push it into marketing very quickly.
It's definitely clear to me. I mean, now that I'm listening to you now, like the Social Code platform really is focusing on marketing. Based on that, what would you say is the biggest challenge right now that's facing these digitally native, these direct-to-consumer brands today, middle of a pandemic, we're slowly getting out of it. I'm just curious what you've seen on your end.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot has changed over the last 4 to 5 years. And, you know, marketing channels are becoming more expensive. It's not, you know, getting to that return on investment, you know, is a little bit more challenging. So if you're running the same playbook as everyone else, then your customer acquisition costs are going to be unacceptably high. Even especially in this time of the pandemic, I would say increasingly less patience among people with capital to lose money, as many disruptor brands historically have. I think more of a focus on growing in a smart, profitable way. So as a result, intelligent data-driven marketing has never been more important. And I think there's a need to look for opportunities to invest in areas that other brands aren't thinking about. And again, not just thinking about acquisition, but getting those high-value customers.
So what is the thing that surprised you the most during this pandemic, you know, as it applies to these direct-to-consumer brands?
Great question. I think one of the things that surprised me was just how quickly brands were able to pivot their business models to adapt to the pandemic. So things that would traditionally have taken months or years to do, they were all of a sudden pivoting within weeks or days. So for instance, you know, make sure they're focusing on things like highlighting loungewear products versus workwear products and being smart about what consumers really need during this time and how their lifestyles are changing and being able to adopt that brand proposition and that messaging accordingly. I think another key thing that pleasantly surprised me was the brand's ability to understand and start to think about the shifting composition of their core customers. And, you know, one of the things that they had to start thinking about was, how are those customers that they're acquiring during this pandemic different from their evergreen customers? Maybe their customers just responding to discount messaging or sale messaging, which brands aren't necessarily having to experiment with right now. So being able to understand that kind of shifting shape of the consumer is very important. I think brands are rising to the challenge.
I noticed too, there was one case study I read recently about Gymshark, which is a pretty large Shopify Plus brand, ridiculously amazing company, but they made an interesting pivot. Instead of calling themselves Gymshark, they pivoted at least a lot of their social channels to Home Shark to build community. And gyms being closed, they were smart enough to make a pivot and saying, hey, wait a second, they can't go to a gym. So can we get some celebrities and other different types of workout folks to create video, create community? And it really had a really positive impact on their business. I know there's many other stories. I'm sure you probably heard a few too about people making the community pivot towards education and building community in lieu of missing wholesale.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, that's a great example of shifting from a place where you used to find customers or distribution networks to trying to find new spaces. And I think similarly, I'm thinking of, you know, one of our clients who relied on sort of in-store showrooms and now they have virtual showrooms. So I think certainly thinking about how to find new places and new distribution is really important.
So Carrie, this show has a diverse range of listeners. And if you were to give some advice, I guess, to the early stage e-commerce entrepreneurs that are on Shopify, you know, they're considering or certainly dabbling in the subscription option. What sort of advice would you give them today?
I think I would reinforce that their e-commerce page, I mean, that really is your storefront. So you should be making investments for that virtual storefront and order processing to be more efficient, and that useful data is coming out that can help manage your business. So in my opinion, you can never invest too much money to make sure that that storefront is buttoned up. I also think that analytics capabilities in Shopify are similar to a lot of other high-powered business intelligence platforms. And if you have resources and expertise using the capabilities within the Shopify platform, then this can lead to some super compelling insights for your business. So maybe you don't need to invest right away in alternative business intelligence tools until you're at that moment when you really need to. There's so much that's already there.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there is the human capital challenge that I can see too on a lot of brands that are, let's say, on Shopify core plans. And so I think they need to get more product market fit. I think they just need to hustle more and get sales and use social media and use other tools and things out there just to start building that community and that lifetime value, just understanding those basic concepts. Now, what about those that are listening today that would be more considered in the mid-market, maybe even enterprise? They could be on Shopify Plus. They likely have a small marketing team, definitely eager to grow and scale. Like, what's your best advice that you can share today that can assist either the executive team or probably the marketing team?
Sure. And this is kind of right in our sweet spot. I would say that for these guys, it's really important to look at customer lifetime value, as we've been talking about, as opposed to just customer acquisition costs. So customer acquisition costs are oftentimes easy to measure, but customer LTV is what's going to actually drive your business forward and help you set better marketing goals. So put another way, and I sort of alluded to this earlier, it's no longer enough to just scale with new customers. So even if you don't have that subscription offering, you need to act like a merchant that does and really focus on finding those repeat purchasers.
So what does the future look like for Social Code and the audience intelligence platform? Can you share any North Star highlights, anything in the 2020 roadmap? I'm just always curious about any other partner alignment or innovation, and just, you know, how do you believe the platform is going to continue to evolve to help these brands?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So our AIP team is currently building out advanced analytics using not just customer LTV by revenue, but really by profitability, and starting to look at predicted revenue by persona views within the platform. So when we talk about that, it's like, okay, well, so if it's your stay-at-home mom persona, or if it's your affluent older persona, you know, we're truly trying to understand kind of how to tailor analytics for all those different personas and understand which are the ones that are really driving your business. And then in addition to that, we're also working closely with our partners at Facebook to do a server-to-server integration. So when we talk about that, you know, we hear a lot in the news about what happens when cookies go away and third-party tracking goes away. And the browsers have been pretty clear about the long-term view there, and that you can't continue to kind of live in this sort of cookie-based world. And so, as again, it kind of reinforces everything we've said about having that first-party data at your disposal, but also making it really easy for our partners to do that server-to-server integration so they can optimize for people across the funnel without necessarily needing to have those pixels placed. So that's something that we're also aligned on. And the last piece that I think is kind of interesting as we think about other distribution platforms or channels that are going to continue to be important for these merchants. We're building both audio and email service integration. So we see that audio as a platform, podcast networks, just like the one we're on today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, people are continuing to adopt the medium. And I think we know that email is always going to be an important component of that marketing plan. So the ability to quickly send those audiences into those additional distribution platforms is certainly on the radar.
So we are nearing the end of the show for today, but do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I think at the highest level, we know that building a business and growing a brand is extremely difficult. This is not for the faint of heart. And the more you know about your customers, the more successful you're going to be.
So how can people learn more about Social Code, the website, and then more about the AIP platform?
Yeah, so our website is socialcode.com, and there's a contact form there, so you can select what you want to learn most about. So please, click on Audience Intelligence Platform. We also have presence across all the different platforms. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, our blog, etc.
I absolutely love your blog. I know I subscribe to it, and every day it's part of my workflow with a few other daily newsletters that I get. I think you're Monday to Friday. I don't think you're weekends, but every day I get, and you have a nice curated selection with some original pieces and some curated pieces. I love the outtake at the bottom with a notable tweet of some sort. You have a little thing at the bottom. So I get it. I see what you're doing. I recommend those listening today, just go to socialcode.com and sign up for the newsletter. The Daily Code, 100% sign up for it. I'll put a link in the show notes for it because it's awesome. Really, really well done. Your content team that's working on that. Also, we did speak offline, I know, before recording today, and I understand that you would like to offer our listeners something a little bit extra to take the platform for a spin. Are you able to share some of the details on that?
Yeah, sure. So the way that we price our platform is you pay it kind of a monthly fee based on the amount of data that we're managing for you. And what we'd like to do for your listeners is offer the first month free and 50% off that license price for the second month. So great deal, great time to check us out. And we hope that you'll take us up on it.
Beautiful. I'll make sure this landing page for this offer is going to be at ecommercefastlane.com/social code. That will go to a landing page that you can take Carrie up and her team up on this offer. It's totally worth it to try it because it's free for the first month to at least see the intelligence and what's there. It's going to import all of your Shopify data and then help you disseminate it and help you make decisions on it and how to action it. You know, once again, I just really appreciate you coming to chat with us today. I think one thing that is clear to me, you know, and Shopify's mission really is to make commerce better for everyone. And for me, I can see that the Social Code team really is in tight alignment. Obviously, having a Shopify app, I know you really want to help Shopify brands to grow and scale. And just once again, thanks for coming on the show today and giving back to the Shopify ecosystem and sharing your platform.
Thanks so much, Steve. Look forward to talking again soon.
This episode was brought to you by ShipBob, one of the fastest growing tech companies in America that's powering the direct-to-consumer revolution. Join over 3,000 e-commerce brands that choose ShipBob as their fulfillment partner and start scaling your business by delivering remarkable customer experiences. You can get more details by heading on over to ShipBob.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of E-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.